Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN, 1580 AM, and in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK, 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And history is being made a lot of places, and nowhere more so than in the controversy over the Alito draft decision. Came out of the Supreme Court, leaked, I'm sure, by a clerk. Leaked by a clerk. Some people say it was leaked by a right-wing clerk who wanted to nail them down. My own belief, it was probably leaked by a clerk who was appalled by the decision and wanted to get it out there so people could do something about it. But regardless, they'll find out. And my own view is whoever leaked it did a public service. I was a law clerk on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in Chicago. I was the law clerk for the chief judge, Thomas Fairchild, a long time ago. One of the probably greatest judges in Wisconsin history. He was appointed to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals are just under the U.S. Supreme Court. They are the last resort before the U.S. Supreme Court. Most of their decisions don't get reviewed. And so my job, I'd meet with the judge after we heard oral argument. The clerks would sit on the side. The judges would sit up on the in an elevated dais, ask questions. And then afterwards, we'd meet in his office and he'd say, well, here's how I want this to come out. There were two clerks, me and another guy. And we took turns on cases. In other words, he'd take one case, I'd take another, and he'd say, well, okay, on this particular case, I want it to come out this way. So write a draft, and then he would edit it and do whatever he wanted, and it would be issued. Now, it was unthinkable to me back then to leak a draft, because once these drafts get drafted, then they get circulated to the whole court that listened to the case. In the case of the Seventh Circuit and other courts of appeals, it's a three-judge panel. Three judges sit up there. In those days, they each had two clerks, so that six clerks would probably see these things. The U.S. Supreme Court has nine justices, and they have four clerks each. So that's 36 clerks and nine justices. And to my knowledge, there's never been a leak of an actual draft before in the Supreme Court. There's been talk, there's been chatter. People read tea leaves about the questions the justice has asked, and then they try to predict what's going to happen. But, you know, that's a risky business. You really can't totally predict how it's going to turn out. And this time, the whole draft decision was leaked. And those draft decisions really don't get changed much normally. They really don't. They really don't. I personally think that the U.S. Supreme Court didn't think this out. It's 5-4. That means that Roberts is with the three liberals. But the fifth one was Amy Comey Barrett, and she got rammed through in a lame duck session by Mitch McConnell, Moscow Mitch. And she was voted on by senators in November who weren't going to be serving in the Senate after January. They either got beaten, some of them, or they retired. So you're going to change 50 years of constitutional law on a whim because Moscow Mitch succeeded in not giving Merrick Garland a hearing and then ramming through Comey Barrett in a lame duck session. And so what? That is legitimacy? No, that's not legitimacy. That's not legitimacy. Look, they have a filibuster in the Senate, which I disagree with. But in most cases, that especially that don't have to do with the budget, take 60 votes to pass anything. If you're going to overturn established precedent, it should at least take six Supreme Court justices, 2/3. And when you do it with five, and you do it with somebody rammed through in the lame duck, you are opening up anarchy in this country, because the Supreme Court has squandered its legitimacy. That's all it has. It has no army. It has no enforcement power personally. The justices don't go out and arrest people. They order the bailiff, or they order law enforcement to do it. But when they do this, I don't think that they took into account all the ramifications. For instance, one of many, there is a guy named Peter Brinelow. I don't know if you ever heard of Peter Brinelow. Peter Brinelow was an editor of National Review. That's the magazine conservative formed by Bill Buckley. Now, that's a mainstream publication. It's very conservative, but it's basically principled conservative, and they stood up to Trump on a lot of things. Well, Brinelow is really bad news. He's an odd duck. And finally, he left National Review, and he's with this white supremacist organization now. And he came out yesterday, and you know what he said? He said that now the Supreme Court should overturn Brown versus Board of Education. In other words, the decision in 1954 that said separate but equal is no longer any good. You can't have black schools and white schools. A number of plaintiffs came together to bring that case, because if you were a black kid, they sent you to a school, and in a lot of states, you didn't have a lot of textbooks. You had shoddy, you had very, very shoddy supplies. You had shoddy materials. You had shoddy classrooms to teach in. Black teams couldn't play against white teams. This is 1954, guys. 1954. And they impliedly overruled Plessy v. Ferguson, a Supreme Court case in the 1890s. Well, Louisiana had a law that said that black people had to, on a train, had to sit in the last car. So some guy decided, the heck with that. This is very sad, because I think what he was, I think he was partially of white descent and black descent. So he sat in another car, and they arrested him. They put him in jail. Went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court in the 1890s, said as long as he could ride anywhere on the train, that was okay. Took till 1954 to overturn that. And now this clown, Peter Brinelow, using the reasoning of overturning Roe v. Wade, is saying, well, go ahead and overturn Brown versus Board of Education. The other thing that they could do, and you're not going to believe this, but I'll tell you, as late as 1961, if you went into a drugstore pharmacy in Connecticut and asked for birth control, pills or condoms, you had to prove to the pharmacist you were married. And if you weren't married, you couldn't get them. Well, first of all, that results in more abortions. So, I mean, for the love of Pete. And secondly, that's not the state's business. That's nobody's business. That's your business. That's your business. And we're not going to go back to segregated anything. And I can believe this. It wasn't too long ago, I think 10 years ago, Texas had a law, you won't believe this, regulating what kind of sexual activity and positions people could have. You know, now, they obviously aren't invading people's bedrooms, but this is none of their business. These are consenting adults. I'm talking about consenting adults. I'm not talking about anything else. If two consenting adults are together, it's not the state's business what kind of sexual activity they engage in, frankly. Frankly. And then, of course, you had the case of same-sex marriage, where the Supreme Court said that there's a right to privacy and so forth. You have no idea how many cases out there could be overturned based on two things, the holding in this draft on Roe v. Wade, and secondly, on the advocacy that's coming out from the extreme right wing. And the question is, how long will people, even Republicans, put up with invasions of their privacy? There's a very famous law review article written in the 19th century, late 19th century, that talked about the right to privacy. And I think it was Justice Brandeis, who at the time was not yet a judge, was one of the authors. And really a very profound article, because what it said is, you know, there is a penumbra in the Constitution of privacy. The difference between us and an authoritarian state, fascism, communism, Nazism, Russian mafia, is you have a right to be let alone. You have a right to the state not sticking its nose in your business. If you're an adult, consenting adult, that's your business. And this business of trying to get in your personal business is something that, unique in Western civilization, we don't permit. You know, the other thing is, there are a lot of countries that outlaw abortion. And what the data shows is there are not fewer abortions proportionately, but there are fewer abortions that result in deaths of women and butchering of women. In other words, if a woman feels driven to this, and I can't possibly, as a man, imagine any of this, but if she is, the question is it self-inflicted, or does her roommate in college, or does a friend do it who doesn't know what they're doing? You know? And the woman is gets an infection, badly damaged. This this thing by this court invades the whole notion of privacy in a very profound way, and people haven't faced up to that yet. And you're going to see even more extreme MAGA types come out and go, we've got to get our nose in your business. We've got to get our nose in your business. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.